This is the Creative Sports Podcast. Today's going to be a continuation of our celebration of Black creatives in the sports industry from the panel we held at the end of February. Hosted by Cindy Robinson, she is joined by guests Dominique Patrick, Jamoke Davis, Stephanie Lovell, and Lamont Buford. They discuss challenges they faced being the only Black person in their team or on their show, the importance of networking, adding diversity to your team without the Rooney Rule, and finding a way to remain positive during the pandemic.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack, so if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Hi everyone! We are going to keep this fun and lighthearted. I am not a super stickler to be serious all the time, so I want to enjoy it and have fun and a good conversation about Black history and creative stuff and all of that good stuff. So yes, I'm Cindy. For those that don't know, I do work at Bleach Report as a content programmer. I have a background in journalism and sports reporting and digital content and all that good stuff. So yes, that is my little quick background. I'm gonna keep it short because it's not about me. We'll go to one of our first panelists to just let all the panelists introduce themselves and let you all know what they do and who they are. So Dom, let's kick it off with you.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Dominique Patrick. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm currently in New Jersey working at MLB Network as a broadcast associate. Y'all aren't sure what that is, basically associate producer, same type of thing. I'm also a college basketball analyst for men's and women's basketball and the new co-host for Ball Talkers podcast. So exciting stuff.
Okay, let's have Jamoke go next.
All right. I am one of the co-founders of a new agency, 10th Collective Creative Agency, where we help athletes, entertainers, brands, and companies tell their story, get their voice out the way they would like to as well, but also do some marketing as well. I host a podcast on the Props Network on sports and betting. And before that, I worked 12 years for Monumental Sports Entertainment as a studio host, digital reporter, sideline reporter, play-by-play, and the supervising producer for all Washington Wizards content that's on broadcast, internet, and in arena.
Very exciting. Since we're on the like freelance area, Steph, would you like to go next?
Sure. Hi, I'm Stephanie Lovell. You can call me Steph. Most recently, I was a creative content producer with UCLA Athletics, as well as a freelance photographer and videographer with the LA Clippers. Currently, I've transitioned into the freelance world, and I do a lot of work with different players, as well as I've been working with a startup brand that's actually going to launch on March 2nd. It's a female sports and culture brand, so it's going to be really cool. Definitely want to keep an eye out for that.
Fun, perfect time for, is it, oh yeah, International Women's Day and Women's History Month. So Lamont, you are up next.
Perfect. First, I do want to say thank you guys for allowing me to be on this panel today. It's pretty awesome to be here with you guys. My name is Lamont. I'm from Newport News, Virginia. That's where I claim. My dad's military, so we're all over the world. I'm in my 21st year in sports, which is crazy to think about. I am currently the vice president of entertainment and production for the Seattle Kraken, which is the NHL's newest franchise, their 32nd franchise. So glad to be here.
Perfect. And these are our panelists that you will be hearing from tonight. So tonight we're definitely discussing Black History Month. It's coming to a close. We have, what, another day? Is it the 27th? No, two more days. But obviously we are in a time right now where Black history, we want to talk about it all throughout the year. But, you know, in this moment, we're celebrating it for this month. So first question I'm going to pose to you guys is, what does Black History Month mean to you? So whoever wants to tackle that first, I don't want to have to put somebody on the spot, but I will if need be.
Black History Month means to me, basically, the way I look at it is kind of like, you know, everyone talks about like dating and like having reassurance. you know, a lot. I basically feel like Black History Month to me is kind of like that reassurance and like re-energizing the fact that, you know, there's so much Black greatness in this entire world. And so that's the way I kind of look at it. I look at it as just like, you know, we go through so much on a regular basis, especially in industry and just dealing with everyday life. So I just really, it's just like being Black is so hard. And you know, I think a lot of times we hear, you know, walk with your crown and your head held high and, you know, a lot of encouraging words, but it's really like heavy sometimes. So I feel like when we get to that month, we know, hey, we're about to be celebrated. I'm about to learn something new about my culture that I never knew. It's going to give me a lot of knowledge of things that I didn't know. And even with the memes on Twitter and everything, it's just all celebrating everything Black. And, you know, sometimes I think we need that. It makes us take a step back and realize that we are great and we have so much culture to tap into. So,
yeah, I think that's where it starts for me is, if nothing else, as you mentioned, Cindy, it's not like we don't think about our history only in these 28 days, but it really does make you reflect on what you should be thankful for, where you have come as a people, but also thinking about, you know, what we should be doing differently or better or helping each other. You know, I don't know if it's fair to say I liken it to everyone at New Year's Eve has a New Year's resolution, but this month is where you're like, okay, I've got to remember who I am and who I am representing, either in my lineage as in my family, or the color of my skin and what that means for my ancestors and what they have done to help us get to where we are today. And so that's really what Black history means to me. I'm from Washington, D.C., so that, you know, being in the nation's capital and in the shadows of the White House and, you know, walking to where the Dr. Martin Luther King statue is, where he held the I Have a Dream speech. All of that, as I drive around the city, sometimes I can, you know, you kind of forget those things as I'm passed by on a regular basis, but it's the time now that I really can focus on remembering where we are as a people and the positive things that the people who have the means or have celebrity status that can kind of amplify our voice. Whether it's in politics, sports, entertainment, whatever the case may be, a community activist, a leader. I just like to see that and read about it more during this month.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what both Dom and Jamoke said. For me, it's just a lot of celebration and reminder of how far we've come and just kind of all of the things that we've overcome, but also it kind of reminds me that we also have a long way to go as well. Just thinking about all of MLK's speeches and Rosa Parks and all of the inspirational historical people that have come before us, I definitely appreciate and always love all of the different artwork and music and just celebration that is Black excellence all throughout the month. But for me as well, I think about the different struggles that we as Black people and Black people in America go through on a day-to-day basis as well. And also just, I feel motivation that we have a long way to still go, but kind of like they said, it's just almost like a new goal for the year. And I feel regenerized and motivated to just keep tackling that topic and keep fighting for people like myself and just everyone that comes behind me in order to help make the journey easier for them.
Wow, that's really, really good stuff. I mean, Black History Month for me is it's everything what all of the panelists have already said. You know, it's that month of reflection, and it's crazy how much you know, I think about it. You get so much confidence when you get to that month of February. You know, to be able to see other people that look like you in the street. I mean, we already have our head nod that people are still trying to figure out, you know, what that is. But, you know, when you get to that month of February, you know, it brings out that confidence in people. And I absolutely love Black History Month. I also love learning because that's the month where, you know, we could all take our own time and go out and learn about Black culture and learn about the people that have paved the way in so many areas of life. But it's the month where so many other people get to learn about the greatness that's in Black culture. So that's what I truly, truly, truly love about Black History Month.
Great answers, guys. Got me reflecting about stuff. Okay, so there's a ton of amazing Black creatives in our industry, amazing people that, you know, usually are, I would say, you consider an influence to your career. Who would you say has been one of your biggest influences, whether you know them personally or not, or whatever the case may be, that is Black in this industry? Lamont, you can start since we've ended with you.
Okay. That's such a hard one for me, because for me in the space that I'm in hockey. And for the longest time, there wasn't anybody that looked like me in the area that I'm in. I will say, kind of growing up, I enjoyed watching and seeing Stuart Scott and John Saunders on TV. Those were two individuals that I loved how they carried themselves on TV. They always had confidence, and I never wanted to be in front of the camera. But I kept saying to myself, if I had an opportunity to do anything great in the sports world, I wanted to be confident like those guys. And so I would say more so those guys kind of were the influence, but I unfortunately don't have another person of color to actually put out there to say they did this for me.
Okay, before I let you go, Steph, let me ask you a question to piggyback off that, Lamont. Since you are in a space that is predominantly white, how do you feel about breaking down some of those barriers and being that person that may be the influence for someone else coming up?
You know, it's crazy. I up until this year, when I moved to, it would have been in July, when I moved to the Seattle Kraken, I never looked at the color of my skin as me being somebody that was a pioneer for being in this space in a predominantly white sport. I just looked at it as I'm a talented individual that just happens to be Black, that just doing a job. And it wasn't until somebody actually said, man, like, you are actually paving the way and making a way for other people of color to get into this field in hockey. Still hasn't really hit me and resonated, but it's a cool thing, I think, for me to be able to show others, like, hockey is a sport that can be and loved by everybody. And so that's where I'm at. Right now I work for an awesome organization that is actually trying to break down the barrier. Like, if you look at our organization and how it's built, compared to all of the other 31 teams in the NHL, we have the most BIPOC in our organization. We have so many so many women in high ranking areas within the organization. So it's a cool thing to see now, but I always took it for granted because I never knew to look for that.
Okay, Steph, go ahead.
Awesome. Well, first, I wanted to, first of all, commend you for working in the field of hockey. When I was a student at Oregon, I actually worked as a hockey photographer for our Oregon club hockey team. And I definitely just can relate to that feeling of, like, being the only one, also as a woman, like, one, just being the only woman that's on the ice and just around the arena, but also as a Black person, like, we didn't have Black players on the hockey team or Black managers or anything like that. And so I just really commend you for being one of the people that paves the way, especially in that field, because it definitely is one that I feel like Black people can appreciate. I mean, I love hockey, but just something that we need to be, have an opportunity to, like, experience it. Because I don't think as a community, that's something that we naturally usually gravitate towards. For myself, actually, I thought about this question a lot because I as well didn't really have a lot of Black influences throughout my career. That's actually one of the reasons why I've tried to go the freelance route recently. But I would say the last year or so, I've connected very heavily with Devin Disney, and I've been working with him through his Black Creators program. And just outside of the creative influence and like knowledge and guidance that he's been able to give me, just like the business advice and just like being a good person and all of the different qualities that like Devin embodies, I definitely look to him as somebody within the industry that I want to carry myself like going forward in the future.
Yay, shout out to Devin. I love him. He's, like you said, a great person. He's been helping to put other freelancers in positions to have opportunities. And I know he has worked with Steph, so speaks very, very highly of you, Steph. Jamoke, we would love to hear about your influences.
Oh boy, I've got so many. My dad had me playing sports when I was really young. And then my mom worked in television. So she would always take me to the television station, and she was a producer, and she worked in news and then switched over to sports to just occasionally to do a story. And she took me to see, she did a story on a boxer, Simon Brown, in DC. And that was the first time I felt like, wait, I can combine the two. I can really like be in sports and be on television or producing content. And as I got older, Bob Johnson, Sheila Johnson, gave me my first shot in television at BET, being on television and behind the scenes. Jonathan Rogers, who has, you know, worked his way up to an executive at CBS, is now heads up TV One, was a big influence on me. Ed Tapscott, Diane Roberts, Michael Wilbon. He actually had him on one of the first people that came on my podcast. He was really happy to do it for me. And, you know, it's great to be able to know him. And Caron Butler is probably the one player that over the course of my time with the Wizards, it grew past, I was just an employee. And now, you know, we converse on a different level. You know, he used to do play-by-play for the Wizards. So after the games, we would hang out. And it was a different level of a relationship. And it spanned all of my career, different people that helped me, as we're talking about Black History Month, get over hurdles, people that you can lean on and talk to and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. How can I move forward? Or I want to move up in the company. What do I need to do? So in different ways, they've all helped. And I'm sure I'm forgetting someone or not thinking of someone that has helped me. But I think the key for me is we've got to influence each other. Even the five of us on this panel, I'm hoping we're just meeting for the first time. But after this, now we're going to find each other on social media. And it's like, how can I help you? You help me. And we influence each other.
I like that.
Of course. That's amazing. Okay, Dom, you're next. Let's go.
All right. I totally agree with what you were saying at the end, basically, like we all, you know, help each other. And I, unfortunately, growing up, I looked up to a lot of players playing the game because I wanted to go pro and play basketball. So I didn't really look up to any broadcasters or like producers. I discovered late that I wanted to be a producer at Syracuse University. So growing up, I would always look at, you know, different athletes that I wanted to pattern myself after, which might sound crazy because I'm 5'4", and I always loved Candace Parker. When she dunked in Tennessee, I was losing my mind. I was like, I am a stan for her. And I still am. And now she's doing broadcasting. So I feel like that's really dope that she was able to like make that transition. And I didn't even know if I really wanted to go into broadcasting. And now she's doing that. Still someone that I look up to. I would say that like my support system for my friends are really people that I go to. I don't really have like quote unquote Black mentor that I really in this industry. A lot of the people that I kind of that influenced me are around my age. I really love Taylor Rooks. I really like Maria Taylor. They're just Black women that I look up to that, you know, they step out of the box with the questions that they ask. They talk a lot about our culture. They're constantly, you know, scrutinized, going through for various reasons. We know how that goes. So I would say that I didn't really grow up with like a huge influence. And it's crazy that we have like a pattern of that, because there wasn't a lot of us to like actually look up to, you know, growing up, because it was just so little people in the sports industry. There wasn't a lot of Black influence. But I love the fact that, you know, you're working in hockey. MLB Network also has NHL Network. So I recently got exposed to hockey. So I feel like that's really dope that you're able to do that, because you're right. We don't really look at it like that. You know, we look at like, hey, I'm passionate about something and I'm talented and I'm showing what I can do. And then, you know, you hear someone saying that, aren't you the first Black woman to do this? Aren't you the first Black man, or you're the only Black man or the only Black woman in the office? And like, sometimes I sit back and like, it scares me a little bit. It's like, it feels like a lot of weight and pressure that's on you. But it's also like a huge relief, because it's time. I mean, 2021, you know, I look all the time, like during 2020, where everything was going on, people kept saying, how many first do we really have to have? I mean, we're sitting here like, first Black woman to do what? In 2021, this is the first Black woman that y'all ever hired. This is the first Black woman that's ever done this, you know? So sorry, I'm not trying to go on a rant, but that's just how I feel. You know, I feel like I've closely been looking at people that are around my age. I feel like they heavily influence me. And I feel like they're also motivating, because since they're my age, I feel like I can be just as successful and or more. So that's just really my story. I never really like grew up, you know, looking at someone in the sports media industry trying to pattern myself after, but you know.
Okay, so I feel like all of you have touched on this in some capacity about being like the first or not having too many influences before you, because you are probably the first in that position, or it's just not predominant. You know, there's not a lot of people to choose from to look up to. How does that make you feel? Like, is it a motivating thing, or is it also discouraging as well? Or is it both? Like, and how do you feel like you navigate through that space to be to make sure that the next person isn't feeling the negative side of whatever you may feel in that situation? Jamoke, would you mind starting off right there, since I'm kind
of... Yeah. It's a very daunting position to have, you know, to be the supervising producer of all the Wizards content, but everyone else on my level, when I walk into a room, you know, 95% of them are all white. And that made it, you feel the pressure of, one, can I live up to the expectations? But there's also a spotlight on you that you cannot hide because of the color of your skin. And that can be a very, you know, there's a lot of pride with that too, that, you know, the people who were either my peers, colleagues, or people that reported to me as well, that they were looking up like, oh my gosh, there's a Black person that's actually running a department and in charge and a decision maker. And so even the thought of leaving Monumental to do something that I wanted to do, to step out there, was like, well, wait a second. It was the heaviest burden on me to even think, you know what? I'm gonna be sad if the person that follows me is not a minority. And that made it very difficult to leave, because I knew that I was holding a position that once I leave, there's a minimal chance that it's gonna be another minority that takes my place. And so when I've done panels, I've gone to talk to schools, whatever the case may be, I always feel like I've got to carry myself and hold myself to a much higher standard than anyone else in the company that is not a minority. And that is a heavy burden, but something that I really take pride in as well when I'm trying to represent myself to the community, you know, being on camera. You know, I feel like the majority of positions that do play-by-play or studio hosts, again, not really minorities, right? It's always a former player that you see on camera that is a minority. but we rarely get that opportunity to step in that role. And now you have a Maria Taylor, Mike Tirico. There are some, but again, and especially when we talk about with the athletes, it's a predominantly Black sport. And yet the people who are driving the conversation that are telling the story are not the minorities. And I think that's something that it's a dichotomy of what you are dealing with when you are in either a front-facing position on camera or in a supervisory role.
A quick rebuttal question to that. Actually, you know what? I'll wait. I'm gonna let Stephanie go and then I'll come back. But I got something for that. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I feel like both of you guys just touched on so many important topics and important areas that need to be discussed and looked at more. For me personally, I feel like I've experienced both sides. I feel very motivated still currently as a person that works in sports and specifically as a woman to help other women that are my peers and other women, especially women of color that come behind me as well, to not have the struggles that I have had just trying to work in sports and get promotions or progress my career in the ways that I've seen some of my really good friends be able to that I personally haven't. Also, to echo what Jamoke just said, I also feel that pressure though as a woman and as a woman of color. I know that I don't really have as many chances to make mistakes working in this industry as maybe other people do. And I know that I just have to be on top of my game and be 100% no matter what is going on in my personal life, no matter what is going on it right in front of me. It doesn't matter. I always have to put my emotions aside and be able to perform at the highest quality and highest capabilities possible. I always keep that in mind. And I do feel like one of my really big motivations going forward is to find a way to be able to help other people of color and minorities and women be able to get their foot in the door within the sports industry, especially in the creative field. Because as a photographer and videographer, there's just not a lot of women and there's not a lot of women of color. And I personally feel like I have a, not responsibility, but kind of a responsibility at the same time, just to use my experiences that I've gone through and the lessons that I've learned through trial and error. I almost feel a responsibility to be able to pay it forward and just be able to help have other people not be discouraged like I was at certain points.
Lamont, and then I'm gonna have you go, Dom, if you have anything else you wanna add to that.
I'm trying to think. Being the first for me, it's one of those things that you I'm trying to figure out how to say this, girl, because I don't know. I've never really thought of it as being the first. And so that's why I'm kind of struggling to answer the question. But being a person of color, knowing that people look at me a certain way or have looked at me a certain way, I always feel like, as Jamoke said, I have to carry myself or hold myself to a high standard, because I feel like if and when I fail, which I have failed many a times, it feels like you get looked at differently. It's we already knew he was going to fail, or, that's why Black people shouldn't be in this. I've always kind of had that in the back of my mind, but at the same time, I try to always use that as motivation to say, okay, I'm not going to fail. And if I do fail, I'm going to fail quickly. As a first, again, I've never really looked at it as being the first. I just looked at it. I never wanted to fail. I never wanted to never show other people how a Black person has a struggle. I never wanted to fail. So
Dom, if you have anything to add, I kind of have a piggyback question for all of that for you guys.
Yeah, cool. I was going to piggyback off of Steph because she was talking about, you know, being a Black woman and basically getting at how it's like a very thin line between feeling like you don't want anyone else to have to go through this, you know what I'm saying? Because people, I feel like, ask me for advice or different things all the time, or, you know, I'm being the Black woman in predominantly white field. And it sometimes you feel like overwhelmed a little bit because it's just like, I feel like I should help and I should say all of these things, but it can be like very mentally draining and like taxing to be able to talk to a lot of people and just try to keep them from going through the same things that you had to go through. And I also wanted to just say, like, when, you know, y'all were talking about you sit in a meeting and there's just all white people, just that you have to pitch ideas about our culture and they don't really understand what's going on. It's like really overwhelming. I always think about like Bobby Shmurda, like when he's in there, like rapping to the big group of like the table, like he's like going crazy. Everyone's just like staring at him. Like they don't really know how to react. Like they think it's weird or they don't really get it. And I always feel that way. You know, like when I walk in a room and I'm just like, people are expecting me to be better than my superiors. Like, I feel like I'm not getting the pay or the recognition or my name, you know, is not ringing bells in people's meetings. But it's like, if I make a mistake, it's like, oh, it was always expected. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even supposed to be here type of thing. Like you said, they always expect us to like fail and we have to be 10 times better, you know, in everything that we do. I feel like I have to be more prepared than the people that are my bosses, you know? So it is, you know, very heavy, but I also feel like you said, we do have a responsibility. We can't, you know, turn off being Black. We can't turn off being a person of color. Like that is constantly every day, you know, battles that we have to fight. So I feel like, you know, we have to help people as much as possible. I wish, like we said, we didn't have a lot of people to look up to in the sports field. We're becoming those people that people look up to. So now when they ask us advice, we have to, you know, help as much as possible, you know, obviously taking care of ourselves and our mental health, but just making sure that we're continuing to pave the way for others. Because like you said, you don't know if a Black person is going to replace you. Matter of fact, they're probably not, you know, it's a very small chance that they're going to hire another Black person. Because in my head, common sense, I'm thinking like, okay, this, you know, Black person got laid off or something like that. They're going to replace them with another Black person just to keep like a number. No, it doesn't always work like that. You know what I'm saying? That diversity number is not the first thing on their mind. So I feel like we do have a responsibility to, you know, make sure that we are continuing to have more Black people in this field.
So this is like not necessarily a question that I'm 100% sure any of you can answer directly, but I feel like this past year has been a year of transparency in a sense to give people of color a chance to tell our, you know, our white counterparts, our supervisors, whatever the case may be, about our experiences. Have you felt like you've been able to really get across to any of your white friends, coworkers, whatever the case may be, the experience that you go through, and have you seen a change from that at all?
You mean the question of what's it like to be Black? That's the question.
In this industry, like the thing, like everything you guys just mentioned about, maybe not you as much, Lamont, because you didn't feel that 100%, but like, right, you know, the feeling of I have to be 10 times better at all times. I don't have a room to fail. Like, do you feel like you've been able to convey that openly and that they've actually understood and tried to attempt to make a change?
I would say that, yes, I've been asked the question, but you can't walk in my shoes, and you can try to say you want to change. And actually, to get out of sports, one of the things that always sticks with me, that, you know, with the insurrection, and I don't remember what senator it was that said, I didn't realize white privilege until I understood that with that insurrection, even though he was a Democrat, I could pretend to be a Republican. And they just go right past me. And I recognize that the minorities can never, ever, ever do that. It's just not something that you can hide from. So while I have gotten that question of, or certain people would come to me if they had an issue with another minority and need me to kind of translate and help them figure out how to deal with a minority or what do you think I should do? I've gotten that, but you know, it's not something that I think can be fixed on a broader level unless it comes from the top down with our country, with organizations in your home, in your neighborhood. But from an individual standpoint, yes, there may be one or two instances where you feel like somebody gets what you're going through. But overall, I think, no, it's very difficult because in the end, you're going to revert back to how you were brought up and where you are coming from. And I'm always coming from a different direction. If anything, I would say, if you are understanding that you need to try to be more inclusive and understand what minorities are going through, then hire more. You hire more, you get more voices, you get different aspects, different experiences that people bring to the job. When it's 9, 10 people in the company and only one is a minority, well, you're hearing kind of the same things on a regular basis.
Okay, if no one else has anything to answer, because that was really good. So you don't have to feel like you have to answer. If you have something to add to it, go ahead. And if not, go ahead, Stephanie.
Can you say the question one more time? Well, actually,
I have something similar in the comments, so I'm going to throw that one at you and you can answer okay. that.
Oh, I also have something to add, though, about being the only one.
Okay.
Because that's actually something that I've noticed throughout 2020 and going into this year of, like, I actually, similar to Lamont, like, I didn't realize how often I was the first or like the only one. And most recently I was working on a set doing like a sports documentary style show that aired on the CW network. And it actually took me watching the premiere and seeing the credits and like seeing my name in the credits to realize, wow, I was actually the only woman that was a part of this entire project. And then on top of that, like, I was also the only Black person. And I had that moment that I feel like all of us on this panel have had of just like taking that step back and being like, wow, like I am the first, and just kind of not really knowing what to do with that really in a sense, but just kind of that weird feeling, like just in the acknowledgement that it is that you are the first.
Definitely understand that, have been the first in a lot of roles. Go ahead, Dom.
No, I was going to say what Jamoke said, basically, like, you realize that, like, what you said, that you can't really be in our skin and that you can't really understand, like, what we're going through. It just reminded me of, like, 2020 and how, like, all these different companies were getting canceled and, like, cancel culture and all of that. It just made me think about performative. People use performative a lot. And how basically how the Black Lives Matter, you know, like a lot of companies just, it kind of became like a trending topic. That reminded me of that because it was basically like, you know, if you're in the workforce and like all of those things were going on in 2020, people felt a little awkward, you know, approaching me or asking me about certain things. And the thing is that I do really see change. I see change sometimes when I have my white coworkers and people trying to be a little bit more sensitive about the things that they say. But like you said, it kind of always reverts back, you know? It's kind of like they really treat Black history and they really pick and choose when they want to acknowledge it. And I think that's my issue because it's just like, I want to see a change, but it's crazy that it can just literally switch back to not caring again. So that's what I think about all the time. I think about performative. It's like, do these people like really care about like, or really try to understand what's going on, or are you doing it just because now it's like trendy to do it, you know? So that was one thing that like really stood out to me. Is like, I don't really like know how to react to stuff like that sometimes, because I feel like when something is said, I feel like I should correct you or I should tell you like, no, this is wrong. But then a lot of times it's just like, well, I'm just gonna ignore it. I'm just gonna walk away because I don't feel like I don't feel like dealing with that today, you know. So, but yeah, no, what you said was like absolutely amazing. I just wanted to say like a follow-up to that. I just get like a lot of people aren't really genuine. I feel like I could pick up on that really well. And so when I'm trying to listen and learn, because when people genuinely want to learn like my struggles and how they can correct or talk to me in a better way, it's all about action. Like you said, they should hire more people if you really care, or they should have people in every part of the department. You know, like one thing that I see working in just working in different companies, it's just like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to go to work and see myself as a CEO one day, or see myself at the head, and there's literally not a Black person in every step of the ladder. It's like, how are you supposed to teach your white counterpart, like white coworker, like how is everyone supposed to like relay the message? I'm supposed to be the only one to relay the message to everyone. You know, it becomes like very, very overwhelming. So sometimes I just notice like a lot of performative things because it's just not a lot of action behind it.
That's very valid. I feel like I've had those conversations with a lot of friends, you know, in different organizations, companies and stuff. And we've kind of had that same sentiment in some area, you know, in some areas, in some way. To piggyback off that conversation, it's a perfect question came from Jairus in the audience. And it says, how do you personally address the anxiety of feeling the need to be perfect, or having the magnifying glass constantly on you as a person of color in a predominantly white workplace? So how do you overcome that feeling of like, I have to be everything perfect? Because like Lamont said, you are going to have failures. It's natural, right? But we feel like they're amplified times 10. How do you get over that for yourself to deal with that? Anybody wants to shoot first? I don't want to put anybody on the spot.
I could go first. I guess for me, I've actually gone through not a struggle, but like I've gone back and forth with this thought a lot, because I just always, as an individual person, like I pride myself on being the greatest version I possibly can. And I just always want to enter the room and like be awesome and just represent myself and like my community and everything in the highest light and highest quality possible. But at the same time, when I had a lot of struggles throughout my career, and what I had to remind myself a lot of times, especially as I got to the point of severe burnout, where like I was doing literally everything possible I could, and it still didn't seem like it was good enough for my higher ups and just the people that didn't care to understand. And I had a it got to a point where honestly I had to realize that I'm a human being, and like I can only do as much as that is in my control. And at the end of the day, what's not in my control is not in my control, and I have to be okay with not having control of the entire situation and how it might possibly shine a light on me. And regardless if that light is going to possibly be negative, then I started to focus on what will I bring to the table to show like that I did do what was asked of me, or that I did do X, Y, and Z, or that I followed directions and that kind of stuff. And just like, what did I do that actually was in my control to help the situation? Or what did I do that possibly was the mistake that I made? And owning up to that responsibility and being like, you know what? Yeah, I did do that. That's my mistake. I've learned from it. I'm not going to do it again. But kind of just like reminding myself that we're all human beings and we do make mistakes just like our other counterparts, regardless of our race or our gender. And just kind of like, you just have to be forgiving with yourself, because lessons come day by day. And that's kind of just why we're here, is to like learn and grow from the experiences we've gone through.
Piggybacking off of that, I try my best not to allow any situation to become so big that it gives me that anxiety that it's going to stress me out. Like, it's just like Stephanie said, you control what you can control. And I know I can control myself. Even when things get heavy, I have to remind myself all the time, you can only control you. You can only control your actions. So as long as I kind of keep that mindset, and that's just kind of the things that my mom and dad instilled in me. You know, you can only control you. It's not a matter of, you know, others are going to do what they want to do and they're going to say what they want to say. But you control your reactions. Your reaction is if it's going to be a negative reaction because that's what people want to see out of you, or you take that deep breath, you shake everything off and you just go do you. And so that's kind of how I've always operated and functioned.
And also for Jairus to add to that, sorry if I didn't pronounce your name right. I think it's important to have a mentor that when you are feeling most vulnerable and you know there's something you may not know or have a grasp on, but you don't want other people to know that, you gotta have someone, whether it's a colleague, peer, or preferably a mentor that you can go to and say, I need some help. I'm supposed to be doing X, but I don't know how to get there. How do I get from A to Z? Whatever the case may be, I think that's really important for you to find that person. And if it can't be a mentor, then it is a colleague. You know, if Dom and I worked at the same company, Dom, step out. Let me talk to you for a minute. Let me bounce something off of you. And that's how you can kind of gain confidence, because you've been vulnerable. You said what you feel like you don't have the ability to do, or lack of it, the experience to execute. Now you've got someone that you can go to kind of help you get through that. So I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I totally agree. And like, you know, that's kind of like what I was saying is, it's just like, if you don't work with like other people that, you know, feel like you can relate to, it's very hard to like vent. So I totally agree with the mentor thing. Having someone to vent to and talk to about stuff that they can actually relate to means so much. I think for me, like dealing with anxiety, just being my, like, it's kind of weird. I kind of like be overly myself, if that makes sense. Like when I get very overwhelmed and I get anxious and worried about things, because I know that I can only control myself, I kind of get like overly confident, if that makes sense. Not arrogant, but I continue to tell myself that like I know what I bring to the table, and I know that things are not always going to work out. Everybody fails. Everybody has trial and error to get to a certain point. So sometimes I'm just like, yeah, like let me just like, I don't know, go look good and step out and take my mind off of everything and just like try to get myself back on track and just tell myself that I am the prize. Like I am going to be an asset to a company. I am going to get to the point that I want to be at. So I always give myself pep talks, is how I deal with anxiety. Like I just get really worried, and like I feel like the people that I know in my life, they think that I'm super confident all the time, and it's not true. Like I second guess myself a lot. I feel like I cover it up well and kind of making jokes and stuff like that. But I have to tell myself that like I am going to get to a certain point and I will not be stopped. And so I get really confident, and I just tell myself when I walk in a room, hey, I'm turning heads, or when I walk in a room, I'm gonna network, I'm gonna reach out to these people, even though it's a shot in the dark, I'm gonna just do it. And it's like, even if it's a job I want a year or two down the road, doesn't exactly fit the plan that I have, I'm like, listen, I'm gonna just go for it. I'm gonna just, you know, do things like that. And that's just me personally, how I deal with anxiety of just being like overwhelmed with the environment that I'm in. And like you said, I mean, we can only control us, you know. It we work in sports media. We know how quickly things change, you know.
Yeah.
We're producing content, all of that. So that's just me personally, how I deal with some of the anxiety that goes with this industry.
You gotta fake it till you make it, right?
Like I have like a whole playlist like on my phone of just hype songs that I listen to like every time I have a
shoot. Like, Cardi, yeah.
There you go. Lamont, you have something to add?
I mean, yes, I also have a playlist as well. So you gotta be amped up at all times. But what was that, Stephanie?
Oh, I was just telling like the audience, if you don't have one, make one, because like it will you'd be surprised how much it helps you.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be one specific genre. I'm all over the place. It depends on what I'm about to go into. You know, like today was a day of, I got to get a lot of stuff done and I had to be prepared for meetings. So we had mellow stuff. But if I'm going into a game day, we're getting crunk. We're getting ready. You know, so that's where I'm at. But I also have to say that I've been blessed with my wife as being, you know, my biggest coach and my biggest champion. So I every day when I leave the house, I'm leaving with a lot of confidence because of her. So, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, if I am feeling down, like my people in my house, I'm in a house full of women. So I got three girls and my wife, and they are always just like, Dad, you're the best. So I'm always just going to do what I got to do.
So that's a good option. Get you a support system. If it's not your family, get some close friends, somebody you could rely on to, you know, give you those words of encouragement when you need them, or to talk you down off the ledge when you're going to go too crazy, you know, just rely on the people around you. We have some good questions in the comments that I want to get to, because we are like already in an hour into the conversation. I don't want to keep people too long, but yeah, a great question that I see from Elise with a piggyback from Laura is, how can people who may not have hiring power or aren't able to hire right now best help to amplify Black voices and be an ally genuinely and not just performatively? And then Laura's piggyback off of that is, how to amplify Black voices not only within our organization but also within our industry as an ally. I'm gonna throw a little option out there really quick, just because I feel like I have a lot of friends who do this. When you know that your company is hiring, or you know of a friend's company hiring, throw someone out there that you know would be great for that position. That's something I do often, and I always try. I usually let people come to me and ask me if they want a position, but if I know I have friends that are interested in those type of jobs or whatever the case may be, I try to put their names and resumes out there for them. And I ask them, are they interested in it? So a lot of times it's just knowing of different Black creatives around you, so that when those opportunities do come, you can suggest them. Even if it's not up for you to really choose who gets it, you at least are doing a part to really help. Anybody else
want to
add something?
I totally agree with that. And I wish and I hope after this call that my network of people of color, of creatives, grows, because I get hit up all the time about for jobs that I'm on or places that, you know, people are hiring, and I'm always pushing people out. So, I mean, right now we're looking for talent to be on our team. So hit me up.
Yeah, it's funny, full transparency. Elise and I used to work together. So hello, Elise, glad that you're watching. Thank you very much for this opportunity as well. My thing is, the best way you can be an ally is to give me a shot. To not think of me as being different from you. To not think of me as, if I didn't go to the best school, I didn't graduate from Northwestern, although people who know I went to University of Pittsburgh would probably be upset that I said it that way. But, you know, I am me. I bring my unique perspective, not that it's better than anyone else's, not that it's better than Laura's, but take me for me and let me be me, because you are being you, whoever you are, that are looking to be my ally. And that's the best way that you can help. You know, to Stephanie's point, and I'm sure everybody on the panel agrees, like, as you mentioned, Cindy, too, like, yeah, if you have a job, I mean, I've got a friend who works for another team that she hits me up all the time. I wish you could come work with me again. I know about this job coming up. Do you want this job? You know, so I really appreciate that. Even if for me, it's like, no, it's not the right time for it. I still like that. And I think that's where you can really help, especially, you know, if you're freelance and you want to stay freelance, fine. But especially, you know, I saw a question on your chat about what has 2020 been like. There are a lot of us out there, not just minorities, but in general, who just do not have jobs. And I would like to think that, yeah, maybe I'll get a phone. Hey, surprise thing. If you get a little email, hey, you know, a headhunter, I think, you know, this might be a job that's good for you, because we're all looking to get back into the field. But I also want whoever the hiring manager is, or if you're just a friend that's trying to help you get a job, look at me because I am qualified for it, not a Rooney Rule.
Yeah, that's a big one. Alexis, I saw your question in there. I know he just mentioned it. I'm going to come back to you, I promise. But you made a great point about not it just being a Rooney Rule. Don't just offer me up because I'm Black. Like, make sure that, you know, those people do actually have the talent and the skills that, you know, that the job may be looking for. But also realize, too, that there are so many talented and skilled Black creatives out there. So there's so much to choose from. You don't have to just hook up your homie, hook up the person that you actually see, like, oh, I saw their work on the timeline. Something that I'm big about doing is networking with people, even if they can't do anything for you. It's okay. Like, you're in the same industry. It's just nice to know somebody else that's in the industry, because when those opportunities do come, you know somebody now to like suggest, or they can think of you to suggest. So LinkedIn, Twitter, all those are places that are great to connect with other people in your industry. Dom, you had something to add?
Honestly, I was just like, yes, the whole time he was talking, because I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Like, I agree totally. Like you said, I mean, sometimes people just be like looking out for the homie and like, they're not really, you know, sometimes it just be like that. But, you know, you have to separate the business and the personal, because, you look, it's always business. If you see somebody work constantly all the time, like I have friends that are creatives, fashion design, everything. If I'm just scrolling and I don't see someone on social media, I'm constantly recommending. Like, the more Black people, the more people of color that we can put into positions. Like, my dad used to say all the time, he's like, yo, there's probably people that can sing better than Beyonce. I don't know if that's true, but probably people that can sing better than Beyonce, or it's probably people that can dance better than Chris Brown. But it's all about the networking and the connections and who he get an opportunity to be in front of. Like, there's so much talent out here. Like, you don't have to just know them, or like you say, a lot of people nowadays, because of social media and everyone's trying to get up, like, it's not genuine. So if you genuinely think somebody is good at their job and like you see an opening, just like be like, hey, like, I don't really know you, but, you know, putting a name out there for the opportunity, or just you see somebody work. Whenever I see somebody work, I like home decor, anything. I'm just like, yo, like, they're Black, they're talented. Like, I'm gonna just tap in and just see what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just all business of taking stuff that's creative and talented and try to bring it to the front of people's eyes. The more eyes on it, the more exposure they can get. It could down the road help you out in the end. We don't know that, you know? So it's just kind of like going out on a limb and just stepping a little bit out of your comfort zone and just trying to like constantly, like you said, take action, hire me.
And I don't only, you know, hook up, like, I don't only suggest my Black friends when I know someone's good for something. I suggest anybody that I have a connection with, but it is that point in saying, like, it's all about networking and making those different connections to know different people in this industry. I want to take it back to Alexis' question, unless somebody else has something else to add. Sorry, in my background, somebody's loud.
You guys kind of touched on all of it, but yeah, I would say definitely, like, work on expanding your list of creatives outside of just the like two Black creatives that you know, or like your list of friends, because I see all the time people on Twitter being like, drop the handles of your favorite creatives. And not gonna lie, I see the same like 20 names on every single list. And not to say that those people aren't amazing creatives, but I also get asked a lot of time, like, I'm constantly looking for Black journalists and Black photographers and like people of color that do all of these things, and I can't find them. And I'm kind of, as a Black person, kind of like, can you not find us, or how hard are you looking? Because like, we're here and we're available and we want the jobs and we want the opportunities. We're just like, our names just aren't being put on the list. So try to expand that list of people that you know. And also, you kind of said everything, Sydney.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
I just went on a rant, but yeah.
No, that's perfect. I think something to add too is, because it's not all about just getting a job, it's about maintaining that job, right? So your coworkers that you currently work with, if you ever see them struggling with something and you know you have the skill set to help them, offer up the opportunity to help them. Be allies within the company. If you see somebody treating them wrong or you know something's being done, you know, not too kosher, stand by their side if you can. Now, I know you don't want to put your job on the whole, on the line. I get it. Obviously, everything in reason, but sometimes it's a matter of sticking up for someone, right? Or having someone's back in a situation. It's not always just let me, you know, hook you up with a job. It's like there's things you can do internally as well. Dom, you had something else to add before we get to the next question?
Was just going to say about the creatives. I noticed that a lot too. I see a lot of the like same names of like, you know, people who are really popular or gone viral and, you know, as being creatives. And I would just give advice for that too. Like, there's a lot of hidden gems of people out there. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in certain, like, I love going to concerts, all kinds of things. And like, I meet people and then like, they see my follower account and they think just because I don't have 10K or I don't have 20K or whatever, like my work is not good or I don't have the experience. And like, that's how you have to look at other people. Like, everyone had to get to a certain point. So you shouldn't look down on someone just because, like, you know, they have a certain amount of followers. Actually, like, tap into different creatives, like different Black people who are trying to like push their businesses. Like, just take a moment and like, I feel like that's like kind of like our job, like to like put like our responsibility to just kind of check out other Black creatives and just see that like there's talent everywhere doing all kinds of things that we've never even heard about. So.
And to add to that, a great way to do that is share someone's work on your timeline. Retweet, a like, a share, whatever the case may be, costs nothing. And content creators are looking for that. It's engagement for them. It's bringing them more eyes. It's exposing them to a whole new timeline, which is yours, and a bunch of I'm pretty sure at this point, people have anywhere from 500 to 1,000 followers in some capacity. That's exposing them to a whole different timeline of people. So that's something that simple could help someone. I think Steph was about to say.
Sorry, yeah, just one last thing. You kind of touched on it. I was gonna say the whole thing about like, give a share, give a like, because honestly it takes 2 seconds. And for the creative, it goes such a long way. Like that Instagram algorithm is so hard now because they keep changing it. And really even the like takes it farther than you really can think about it. But also going back to your point of like, to be an ally outside of just looking for jobs and like hiring people and being looking for people of color when a job is available. Also, I wanted to echo what you were saying about like, notice how people are treated within your workplace. And if you see someone that's being treated wrongly, like, don't lose your job over it, but speak up and like, acknowledge that they're going through a hard time and think about how you could possibly help them, or just put yourself in their shoes and like how they might feel in that situation. Because one thing I have seen throughout the last like 4 years or so that I've been working in the industry is a lot of times Black people take the hit for a lot of stuff that might not necessarily be their fault. And it's because we're the only person in the room that looks like us. And honestly, no one else wants to like step up or speak up or be that person to be like, yeah, you know what? I was actually a part of that too. And just being that person that like has that voice that also reiterates that the way we're feeling or like the experiences that we're going through are valid. Honestly, like that will go so, so far and it will be appreciated by all of us so much.
Yes, I 100% agree. We're going to get ready to close this out, so I'm going to throw it to the last question. This year has been obviously wild. Start of March 2020, we're already reaching that mark where it's about to be a full year since coronavirus. On top of that, all the BLM injustice things that we experienced last year. How has the last year changed your job or your career? If at all.
I would say for me, like, I remember like when I finally realized that I wanted to work in sports had always been my life. But when I realized I wanted to work in it, I kind of told myself, I was like, yo, like, we'll always have sports. I'll always have a job in sports. There'll always be around. I feel like from last year, that was scary. Like, it was so scary because it was like, I was working baseball and I didn't even know we were going to have a season. And being freelance, that's like terrifying. It's just like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? Being so far away from home. So I think for me, it just like changed my whole outlook on like, kind of like make sure that I'm like constantly networking, constantly having like some kind of backup plan. I know a lot of times people say like having a backup plan is like you're basically planning to fail. I agree with that, but then I also disagree because I feel like it's just a lot of like, it just showed me last year that just like so much can change in like an instant, and that it's just like, you should always try to find something that you can have some kind of security in and like something that you can be happy with to fall back on maybe in case something happens. Because you know, in the freelance, we all got hustles, side job, everything, income, different things. So I know I have a couple of side things, but I think last year was just like extremely overwhelming for a lot of us. It was just so much going on in so many different areas of our life. But I feel like that is what definitely scared me from working in this industry. Like, I'm a basketball analyst, but I haven't, literally the games I was supposed to call this year have been canceled due to COVID, you know? So it's just, it makes you take a step back and just be like, dang, something that you always thought was going to be there, that's not necessarily true. So you just have to continue to like stay focused and try to find other, like venture into other things, other ways of income, and like, just, I don't know, just try to like figure it out, because no, that was just so scary.
No, that's good. That's good.
I think I'm like thinking about it now. I'm like,
Yeah, I think that everyone experienced a little craziness in their world. And if they were blessed to continue their job, it was the nervousness about if this is going to be okay. Am I going to be safe, or am I next at any moment? So that, I think you made very valid points. Jamoke?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because to go into the freelance world, what was that, May, June, July of 2019, when it was like, okay, it's getting started. And to think 5 months later, things were shutting down. And it's like, you know, then you start thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? But for sports, to Tom's point, sports jobs were going away. So then it was like, for my colleagues that were still working for teams, it was like, okay, what are they going to do? If every, you know, 2 to 3 months, it was like more people being furloughed or laid off, a season canceled, games canceled. So it's been very difficult. And for anyone out there that has been difficult for you, I would just, to me, it's not a cliche, because I had two little ones, similar to what Lamont was talking about, that I try to enjoy the time that I had, because I remember, like, remember when y'all like finished college, you're like, oh yeah, we get a job. And then you realize, wait, only get like 2-3 weeks of vacation. Like, you know, I kind of want to chill and hang out with my family, and you know, you couldn't go on vacation, but just to go to the park with them on a regular basis was something that I was trying my best to turn a negative into a positive. And the funny thing is, last thing I'm gonna say is, we always say, oh man, 2020 was tough for you. 2021 ain't much different. It's kind of like the same thing. So I just hope that, you know, everybody gets more vaccinated, we get sports back into play, but use this time, if you have anything creative in here, to get it down on paper, start editing, think of something you were not doing before, that if you've got extra time right now, start doing it. You know, I don't know, Steph could have been a photographer forever, or she could have just said, hey, what else am I going to do in 2020 and 2021? I'm going to, you know, get a camera out and perfect my craft, because I got to do something. So trying to remain positive, even when it's tough. That's right, Cindy. You know, give myself a little.
That's really amazing that you said that, because I totally feel like 2020 did that as well. It's like, it was so bittersweet. Like, so much stuff went on, but like literally there were people telling me that they got like financial freedom from like, even from like unemployment, like making more money than like they would have normally been made. Even though you have to pay back in taxes, like people were paying off debts. And like, I feel like now is the time like to try anything, like with social media, with everything, like everyone is trying to support. Even when we had the, you know, Black History Month, everyone's like, buy Black owned. Like, I saw Telfar blew up, like companies, like that is just so amazing that you said that, because I was thinking about that too. I'm like, aside from all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, it was like so much opportunity for people as well too. Like, people were like literally looking for excuses to get out of their job and like even though they got laid off, they looked up it as a positive. They were like, hey, like, I can collect unemployment. I know everything is going on crazy, but it's like, I could still find a way to adjust and remain positive during this all. So I'm so glad you said that, because I thought the same thing.
I was blessed to go from one job to a new job during the pandemic. And I went to a job where I was coming from a team where I was the only person of color, to going to a job, to an organization where there are now, I mean, it's double digits for hockey. And it's crazy. Matter of fact, we haven't had a meeting with just the people of color in a while. And I think it was my fault, because I was so happy to see them when I got there and we did a Zoom call and I was so excited, like, hey, hey, hey. Yeah, we haven't called another meeting since, because I don't think they want to hang out with me. But, you know, that's where I was able to, you know, have that opportunity to go to a new organization. But like Dom said, and like Jamoke said, I did take the time. There was about a month and a half where I was furloughed. And I did take that time to kind of go back and think, okay, what is it, you know, that I learned to get me to this spot? So I started learning. I started trying to sharpen my tools again with my editing, with graphics and things like that, just so I could stay sharp. And it paid off, because once I did get to the organization, we're a startup. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I've had to do that I haven't done in years. And I have to say, you know, the pandemic helped with that. It also, you look at it, you try to have that silver lining. That 5 weeks that I had to look at it. It was a vacation, because there was no other time in my job where I would have gotten a 2 week or 3 week vacation without somebody calling or my phone blowing up. Yeah, I was able to take that time to really decompress and think.
Yeah, I feel like everybody kind of touched on a lot of stuff that I was going to also say, but 2020 for me was a lot of good and a lot of bad. Personally, I started off the year unemployed. I left UCLA December 31st of 2019. And so I was already in that period of the unknown, kind of wondering like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I need a job. And then March happened, and I actually used that time as a period to recharge and kind of, like Lamont was saying, take a vacation, because I personally had been somebody that graduated college, immediately went into shooting like minor league baseball over the summer, then transitioned into an internship with the NBA, then moved down to LA and like worked with the W, worked at Drew League, worked at UCLA, worked like at Drew League the summer after UCLA. And like, I just never had a break. And so I was so burned out. I honestly needed the pandemic to happen so that I could just take a pause and like use 2 or 3 months just to sleep and like eat food and like do normal stuff and like go for walks. And I mean, not that I don't eat or anything, that sounded bad, but like, but I mean, like just to be a normal person and to just like relax and not have the pressure of like needing to be somewhere at a certain time and like perform at your highest quality possible. But then also around like June, I actually got a lot of calls for freelance jobs. And I feel like the whole Black Lives Matter thing really started a larger conversation about how there is so much systematic racism and just disparity within the different work industries. And I actually went through a period where I was super overwhelmed because I had so many projects that like I was up until 4 a.m. editing, and like I just didn't know what to do because I had so many projects. And so I went through a lot of like really, really good stuff and a lot of really bad stuff. Well, not like really bad stuff, but like just a period of unknown. And I would say there was something else that I was gonna say, but I kind of forgot it. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, I think what you said was great. I think the main thing that everybody touched on was they took that time where, yes, it could have been negative all the whole time, because I think all of us had our moments where it was either too much to handle, you're stuck inside, it's just a lot to take in and absorb all at once. But though on the bright side, they were all able to find some good out of it, whether that be time to themselves or time to learn a new skill. And I think the learning the new skill is probably the most beneficial to all of our careers, because you have the time to mess up and play around and do whatever, because it's that free time, right? Like for me, sitting at home working was great because, you know, I don't have to get up and get dressed and, you know, take that commute to inside work. You miss like seeing your friends and your coworkers and that interaction you have. But there were moments where I got back into editing and I had the time to actually like play around with editing and learn some more things about it. I still want to learn more about Photoshop. Darius, yeah, I know you in here. Gerald, I know you in here. but, you know, those you it's like you're stuck in here and you can't change that circumstance. So it was one of what you guys mentioned earlier, control what you can control. So I think a lot of people experience changes as far as their career goes. I know with mine, I actually had just started at Bleacher in December 2019. So for me, it was, this is still all new to me by March. Like I'm still getting the hang of the process of everything. I'm still learning, you know, our routine, and now I'm stuck at home doing it. Versus being in the office where I could talk to somebody immediately, I have to go through Slack and talk to them and wait for them to explain through Slack. Or even if we just Zoom called, it's still not the same, right? Because they can't get their hands on my computer and show me directly. So it was a learning curve for sure. But at the same time, it's given me an opportunity to tap into some other of my passions because I had the time to do so. Because I'm just at home and I can just do stuff while I'm working as well. So, yeah. I guess this is kind of like towards the end of everything. I don't know if any of our panelists have anything else they want to add about Black History Month, about helping Black people in this creative space, about networking. Anything? Any last words, everybody?
That was actually something that I was going to say about 2020 as well. As a creative and like a freelancer, I feel like 2020 actually also forced me really to step into my own as a creator. And I found this was the first time where like I was blind DMing people that I looked up to, being like, hey, you know what, I'm a Black creator and like I would really love to work with you or assist you or just like shadow you one day, and because like I admire the work that you do. And I actually found a lot, I was really surprised by the amount of opportunities that, or like the willingness that people had just to be with a stranger, like, oh yeah, I mean, obviously COVID being safe, like wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. We were like, maybe we should wait until after COVID has died down, but like just being able to have those conversations and make those connections with different people was something that I personally tried like a lot for the first time in 2021. And I highly recommend it. Send that LinkedIn email, send that DM, like, you can honestly call or text me whenever you want. I'm always up editing. I'll always try. I mean, I'm sometimes bad at responding, but like I'll always get back to you whenever I possibly can. And just like take that next step to further your career or further that passion and like that hobby that you want to do, because it can really lead to something. And just, I don't know, take that chance on yourself is what I learned, because kind of like Dom said, sports was something that I always thought was going to be there because I played sports growing up. Like I work in sports for years and I just never really had a period of time where I had to picture sports not being a part of my life. And that was definitely a very heavy mentality that I had to go through when like we were having lockdowns and the leagues were getting canceled and stuff like that. But just don't take the opportunities that you have right now in the moment and the jobs that you have and the experiences that you're going through, no matter how small you might personally think they are, like don't take them for granted, because it's really the journey along the way that is what makes everything so fun and worth it. And I know I've been rambling for a really long time, but
it's okay. It's good stuff.
Mentally think of all of those things for the last hour and a half, and I finally just dumped it all out. But yeah.
No, that's great. I think something that we should definitely pay attention to what she said was, don't be afraid to reach out to people. Like that's literally all I've done since I graduated undergrad, and it has gotten me so many places. And if it doesn't get you somewhere, it at least makes a connection for you. But you gotta reach out sometimes, and don't be afraid to be persistent in a sense of if they don't get back to you right away, you know, let a few days go by, follow up. Sometimes people miss those emails because they're so busy and they just forgot to get back to you in the moment. And then that's their reminder. If you're passionate about something or you see a job that you want, and you know, making that connection with this person would be a good job. I mean, a good thing for you, like, do it. No, there is a thin line between persistence and being a bugaboo, but sometimes you gotta be able to, you gotta be willing to take it there. You know, just how desperate you gonna get for your opportunity. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I was just for emails. That's good. 7 to 10 emails, maybe not so much.
Right. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, what she's saying is not really like advice or anything like that. It was just kind of taken back to like 2020, because I know we started off talking about Black History Month. Like, I think another thing for 2020 for me that I just thought, even though we were protesting very traumatic things and systematic racism, I would just say like 2020 was, it was still like beautiful and a reminder. It's just like Black people continue to find joy and silver lining in everything that we're faced with. So I think just, I was really heavy on Twitter and, you know, and just seeing like everything that we went through in 2020, how literally each of us are sitting here talking about how we were able to find positives within that. I just really think that's just so beautiful. So I really don't have any advice. It's just basically, I just want to continue to say, hey, like, continue finding the silver lining, because, you know, there is one in everything. And even though we went through so much in 2020, it's just still like amazing to see how Black people stick together and how we were constantly uplifting Black-owned businesses, finding Black career. I still see drop a Black-owned candle thread on Twitter. You know, I still see that. So I'm like, yo, I love that. I love that, you know, even though we were going through so much, we continue to overcome. And so I just thought that was really beautiful. And I know we started off asking about Black History Month. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of reiterate that, you know, 2020 really showed me that as well, that we really stick together and find the good in anything.
Go ahead, Steph.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was
saying, I really felt like as a Black person, I felt our community and like the love that's within the community. And like, I went to a handful of protests down here in LA, and just like, even though, like Dom said, it was for very traumatic and like not so happy situations, just being like in a group of people that were all there for the same thing, and like seeing signs that were saying like Black is beautiful and Black excellence, and just like embracing all that is being Black and the beauty that comes with that, is something that I also have definitely appreciated and like focused on a lot throughout 2020 and 2021 as well.
Well, I'm going to close things out. I want to thank our panelists for joining us today. So clap for yourselves.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for all the advice and sharing your stories and everything and above.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.